What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, tell them what we always bring.
We're always trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
If you're new to the Positive Truth, this is exactly what the title says, uplifting and positive news for your Wednesday. That's what we do on every Monday and Wednesday. Friday, we talk about an issue, facts about it, and how you can change it for the better. Yeah. What else am I missing, Tim?
Did you talk about the t-shirts?
I did not talk about the t-shirts.
Well, we got some cool t-shirts that we're trying to give away, sell, all of the above. They come in black or they come in gray. Has our Positive Truth logo on that you could see on our Facebook page if you guys check that out. The cool thing about these t-shirts, all proceeds, any profits we make for these t-shirts will go to one of three nonprofit organizations. One is suicide prevention. What's the other one? I'm brain farting right now. Positive Tomorrows. And what's the last one, JP?
Rain for Sexual Assault.
There you go, Rain for Sexual Assault. You get to choose, after you buy a shirt, you get to choose which nonprofit you want your $20 to go to. Now, if you don't have that $20 or you want a t-shirt, but $20 just seems like it's too much for you, whatever the case may be, you can go on any of your social media platforms, add us, add your friends, and if you can get 10 of your friends to like the Positive Truth pages, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it doesn't matter. Show us proof, send it to us at thepositivetruth@gmail.com, and we'll send you a shirt. No cost to you whatsoever. We've already given away a handful of shirts, so it's really working. I mean, our followers went up from 480-something to now we're almost at 600. Well, I think we're only like at 550, but we're just trying to get more people to listen, trying to spread out this positivity throughout the world. You know, it's nothing negative about it. We're not making money from it. We're just trying to be the good people that we are.
You hear the sound quality. We're clearly don't have any advertisements.
No advertisements, no sponsors. This is from the pure goodness of our heart.
If we were talking about negative news, we'd have sponsors, but we're talking about positive news.
Keep it real. Keep it real.
And we have 7 positive news stories. Tim, you have 4. I have 3. Let's go, go, go.
For sure. So check this out. Garth Brooks just recently had a concert here in Oklahoma. Now, Garth Brooks is from UConn, Oklahoma. You know, he actually threw, I think it was the javelin at Oklahoma State University, which I had no idea. I saw like a random fun fact online. I was like, oh, this is cool. But anyways, Garth Brooks is a famous country singer out here. And I mean, he's a legend to a lot of people out here. And his concert here in Oklahoma City was really, you know, turns out really well every single year. He doesn't sell his tickets for too much, so it can get really packed. You know, he appreciates his fans from Oklahoma. And during his concert, which was pretty awesome, he was singing a song called Unanswered Prayers. It's a famous song that he has. If you haven't heard it, check it out. So he noticed in the stands or in the audience that there was a couple, and a man was on his knee. He was proposing to his girlfriend, fiance. She said yes, and Garth Brooks noticed it and immediately stopped performing, and he asked, hey, where do you want to go for your honeymoon? And he asked the lady, which her name is Trisha Yearwood, and Trisha didn't have an answer, of course, you know, just saying yes to getting married. Garth Brooks is talking to her. She's freaking out. He said, you know what? If you choose Hawaii, I'll pay for it, right in front of a sold-out arena. This is, I believe, at the Chesapeake Arena on top of that, so you know it wasn't a few people. So, you know, you're talking about thousands of people there, and Garth Brooks offered to pay for the honeymoon, and it's as simple as that. And to follow through, the couple was like, we weren't sure if he was joking or not, and Garth Brooks' people got a hold of him, and yeah, he's going to pay for their honeymoon as soon as they find a date and everything.
You know, just once in my life, I want to have enough money to have my people get a hold of you.
To say you have people is legit.
Yeah, my first question was going to be, how do we know this dude's actually going to do this? I just imagine him being mobster about it, be like, like waving his fingers and like contact them, like non-verbally.
I see that, real talk. I just envision that.
And your job
looks over to the side and points down.
And your job is like, I can just imagine a person being like, man, I thought tonight was gonna be easy. I thought I was just gonna be doing security. Now I gotta go through all these country fans and I gotta like find this one couple and they might move and go to the restroom and now we gotta coordinate this.
Oh, man, it's still good, though. It's still positive news at the end of the day. I hear you, though, man. It's crazy, though, to imagine to have people like that, for sure.
not to get too off topic, didn't the dude have like 3 concerts here in 2 days?
Yeah, man. It was at his 7:30 performance. When I read that, his 7:30 performances, I went back and looked, and I was just like, wow. I mean, these performers are real. I don't understand how they can do it. They must really love it, a passion for it.
You know, I've never heard a Garth Brooks song.
Really? I bet you have. You just haven't noticed it, man. We live in Oklahoma. There's no way you haven't heard a Garth Brooks song.
I'm just saying, the only thing I heard growing up was rap music and gospel.
Touche. Let me sit back down then.
So like, yeah, what's funny is like we have a mutual friend that just moved to Dallas. So I got off work and like everyone, like my first wave of people at work was like, oh, we're all going to the Garth Brooks concert. When I got home, my friend was like in Dallas. He's like, I'm at the Kendrick Lamar concert.
Oh, man.
And I was like, Oklahoma, yeah.
2 different excitements.
Anyways.
What do you got for us, JP?
So I have a story of a canceled wedding, which sounds, you know, sad.
Right.
But she was from Indiana, and she canceled her $30,000 wedding, but didn't want it to go to waste. So you know what she did to him?
She didn't give it away, did she?
She threw a free dinner party for the homeless.
Wow. That's like a negative into a super positive.
I know, right? Also, this was submitted in. So, you know, we love the submitted in positive news stories because then we don't have to look for them.
For sure. Shout out to whoever sent this in. That's an awesome story. She's like a superhero in a wedding dress to me.
Absolutely. So send in your positive news stories. We'll shout you out on the podcast. So
for sure.
A bus pulled up to the Swanky Event Center, and no, I'm not, Swanky is in the actual story. That is not an adjective I use every single day. And about a dozen veterans from local organizations and homeless were among the guests who dined on bourbon glazed meatballs, roasted garlic bruschetta, and wedding cake. And basically, they fed 170 people, man.
That's legit. And she spent $30,000 on her wedding?
Just to cancel it a week before? I mean, would you rather spend $30,000 on a wedding, on a canceled wedding, or spend 5 years with someone and then get divorced horribly? Like, spend 5 miserable years with someone?
Option C, I'd rather spend way less than that and get married on the beach. 30 grand is crazy, man. I'm not even gonna talk about it anymore. That's just crazy. 30 grand for a wedding. Whew.
I mean, isn't getting married on the beach, isn't that not cheap too? Is there a cheap wedding? Just throw that out there.
Touche. There's no such thing as a cheap wedding. It's not as bad though, man. I got married on the beach. Like, my whole wedding cost less than $7,000, man.
What?
Yeah, man. All-inclusive resorts. Everybody thinks they're crazy expensive. I hit up a travel agent. And she told me how much it was going to be, and I was like, wait, what? I mean, food, everything was included. I'm like, man, I'm turning up right now. All my friends got married here in Oklahoma, and it cost them a minimum 10 grand. I'm over here getting married on a beach, drinking a mojito, living the life.
In all white.
In all white. That's right. Bars.
I remember you were like, JP, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to be running, and I'm going to stay in shape, and I'm going to run on the beach. You came back. I was like, Tim, how'd all the running go? You're like, I didn't do none of that.
Yo, I ran one time down there, and got followed by a dog for a good 3 miles. Man, it was tough.
Was the dog attacking you?
No, man, the dog was super chill. I felt bad because it was, like, worn out at the end.
I mean, yeah, I'd be worn out if I ran 3 miles in the sand, too.
Yeah, true story. Man, speaking of being worn out, though.
Okay.
Dude, so check this out. You know, the World Cup is the next World, or the 2022 World Cup will be in Qatar, which is in Western Asia. There's 18,000 construction workers working out there in 122 degrees heat.
Ew.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So there's some groundbreaking technology, man. Like, they made these hard hats that have these fans in that basically can cool your body down while you're out there working. And the coolest part about this, they're solar power. So basically, if the sun's out, the fan's gonna be going. As you know, you can change the temperature on your helmet. It can cool you down up to 50 degrees, 28 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, first off, good segue, Tim. Great segue.
Nice.
Second of all, do you have a picture of this? Because I'm just, it's hard to imagine.
Man, all I have is like, I do have a picture of it. I'll share it to the Facebook page at the Positive Truth Podcast. It's basically just a normal looking hard hat, but it does have like a square thing, like popping towards the back a little bit. It looks kind of cool, and it kind of, you can tell that's where the fan's at for sure. I mean, whenever I saw it, I was like, 122 degree heat? Like, that's dangerous for anybody. As a runner, I don't go outside when it's like 97 degrees, you know? So 122 degrees, I'm like, no, I'm not working out there. But since it said it cools your body down up to 50 degrees, I was like, man, this is amazing. And 18,000 laborers are already wearing these hats, and they're working great.
I mean, it's just hard to imagine a fan in a normal-sized hard hat.
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely share the picture, man. It looks kind of cool, like a little futuristic. I mean, it looks like it'd be a little heavy, but who knows? Either way, it's keeping them cool.
I'm picturing like a really large, like vibrant helmet from like an 80s cartoon. That's what I'm picturing right now.
Man, I would say like an 80s cartoon is definitely the right page. Like when you're coming to look how it looks, but it's not as big. It's just like a normal size hard hat with like an extra square thing in the back.
Are these fans like, do they have like moisture? Like, are they just normal fans going?
I'm assuming they're normal fans. It didn't have too much details on the fans.
Then how did they get this measurement to like, oh, it can cool you down 50 degrees? Like, how'd they get that measurement?
Researchers. they had a whole team working on it, man. These hats don't look like they were put together cheaply at all.
Okay. Show me that research. I'm just saying, that seems a little fishy, 50 degrees. It's 122 degrees outside. You telling me these things would make it till 70?
Hey, I have no idea.
Either way, cool invention.
For sure.
Well, speaking of heat, you know, whenever it's hot, a lot of people like to go to the beach, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, in Panama City, in Florida, they had some rains, and basically some people got pushed too far out. And there's a story of 80 beachgoers that linked their hands together to save and rescue this family. And yeah, that's what happened. I could go into more details, but there's a really cool picture of pretty much 80 people going from the beach, holding hands to this family. And they end up rescuing her, and everyone made it out okay. I could go into more details, I could do names, but I'm pretty sure that explains it safely enough.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely got that visual. Man, that's pretty awesome. Like, I've noticed we've done a few stories where, positive stories, where they're on the beach and it's like a bunch of people unite to do something positive. I think that's awesome. I know we've talked about people picking up trash, people saving animals that are on the beach, and now a chain link human fence. Like, that's amazing.
It's probably the only way you can save someone, because, you know, ocean and strong tides.
Yeah, man, they're no joke. I almost drowned at my sister's wedding. One wave, like, they told us not to get in the beach first off, but of course, it's like 20 of us. Let's test this out. One wave came in, took me out, and I was trying to stand up, and before I could even stand up, another wave came out of nowhere, threw me right back in and pulled me into the water. It was terrible. I sprained my ankle and everything.
How big were these waves?
Man, they were tiny. We're talking about like 4 feet or something, like not even taller than me. They were just strong. They were ridiculous.
Why did they tell you not to get in?
Because the waves were so strong.
Well, lesson learned.
Touche.
What you got, Tim?
Oh, man. So I got a bus driver story. In Milwaukee, a bus driver by the name of Dwayne Butler was driving early on the 4th of July, like early, 6:30 a.m. early. And he was driving by in this neighborhood, and he noticed a 2-year-old was just walking down the street alone. And he immediately stopped. You know, there was actually another man on the bus, and he asked, you know, whose kid is that? And the guy looked around, didn't see anybody. So the bus driver did the responsible thing. He stopped his bus drive instead of going on his route, called the police, waited there with the kid. The police came, showed up, you know, pretty quick, and the police officers grabbed the kid off the bus and knocked on every door in that neighborhood before they found the kid's home, which is a pretty cool part. And another cool thing I'll share is to the Facebook page, the bus driver stopping was actually caught on camera by a camera inside the bus, and then the bus driver asking the man, you know, whose child is that? The police coming onto the bus and grabbing the kid and knocking on the doors. I mean, most of that was caught on camera, and I'll share it to the Facebook page so you guys can check it out. But I think it's awesome because I know a lot of things are going on in our world and we don't necessarily take the time to notice it or stop or even help. And for a man that's at work, sees a kid, stops, does the right thing, I mean, it's inspiring to me to make sure I stop and pay attention to any negative things that are going on around me and try to correct those.
Dog, we've been doing this podcast for like 8 months, maybe nine, kind of lost track.
Right.
I feel like we have like a positive bus driver story like once a month.
No joke, man. The good thing about it is, like, I feel like I used to ride the city bus as a kid, JP. And, like, the cool thing about these bus driver stories, like, I've had so many positive interactions with bus drivers, whether it's a city bus or a school bus. And, like, they're always nice. They're always in a good mood. It's rare whenever I get, like, a mean one. If I get a mean one, I'm sitting in the back of the bus and I'm not saying a word. But usually they're, like, the most kind-hearted people. Like, they truly enjoy being around people, bus drivers in general, I feel like.
Well, that's funny because I have two things to go with that story. I've read that bus drivers have the lowest job satisfaction in America.
Well, forget everything I said.
I mean, that might not be true completely, but I mean, I've definitely read that.
Yeah, I believe it, man. People on the bus could be rude.
Yo, have you... So, did you ride the bus in high school? Like, back home? Did you ever have the crazy bus driver that would speed?
Yo, like through the neighborhoods, like it was no other. Like, turn the corners, all extra sharp.
Yeah, this dude's going like 40 and everybody's just tipping. It's like, yo, like everybody's holding on. Like this, he was a black dude, right? And this dude would cuss at you if you said anything to him.
Yo, that's terrible.
I know this isn't like the positive, this is a very positive truth thing, but yo, like this bus driver would speed everywhere. Because, you know, I stayed where my high school was, kind of a little bit away from where I actually stayed at.
Right.
So typically, like, I would get home around, like, 2:45, 3. If this dude was doing our route, I swear, Tim, I would get off the bus at, like, 2:25.
Wow. School was out, like, at 2, what, 2:10 or something?
Yes, man. Toast to be going, yo. This dude was going.
Man, bus driver, they haven't changed, man. Every time we go to a cross-country meet or a basketball game or something, man, we'll get a bus driver that drives slow in the right way versus we'll get that one speed racer where they know they shouldn't be driving buses.
But anyways, for a job with such a low satisfaction rate, there's some amazing bus drivers out there.
For sure. You got one more, JP?
I do have one more. So, I was going to segue this, but I totally lost it because of a crazy bus driver story. So basically, there is in Seattle, they started a new nonprofit. It's called the River Junkie Conservation. Mm-hmm. And it was started by Jared Kirkley, and he loves to fish. But he noticed, like, trash from like homeless people on the beach, because there's such a large homeless population in America, and from fishermen, and he just hated it. So he started the River Junkie Conservative Project just to pick up trash on the beach. And in 2 hours, he took 96 volunteers. You wanna guess how much trash they picked up off of this river?
Man, how much trash did they pick up? I don't even wanna guess.
17,000 pounds.
17,000 pounds?
Yeah, in 2 hours.
I think it's just like crazy how much can get done when people actually work together.
Man.
Like, man, 17,000 pounds. Come on, man. That's great.
You know, like, we have social mores, like social laws, like things you shouldn't do. Sort of like you shouldn't get on the elevator before people get off the elevator. It's like an unwritten rule. Like, you just don't do that. That's like extremely rude. Like, we should make a social moray where it's like littering, not cool. Stop doing it. You will be ridiculed.
We should just go in on everybody that throws down a piece of trash.
I know.
Like, what's your problem?
I'm just saying because it's like. Like, you know, like, there are people, they go on first dates. You know, like, if you're rude to the server on the first date, like, we don't want to date you. Like, that's a sign of your character. Like, if you're littering, like, that should be a sign of your character. Like, no, bad person. Very bad. We should make that a social moray. Because 17,000 pounds of trash in 2 hours is like, yo.
That's what I'm saying. For 2 hours, like literally 2 hours. Just imagine if, you know, how many people did you say were picking up trash?
96.
Just imagine a high school. Hey, let's instead of wasting time these last 2 hours and watching movies, let's go out to our neighborhoods and let's just pick up trash around here for the last 2 hours of school. Whole neighborhood would be clean. Probably some people's grass would be cut and stuff.
Well, I know my bad self would be like, I'm going home, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that was me in high school for sure. For sure.
There's no way you're getting me out of this heat, making me pick up anything. I'm just going to take my car and go pick up trash over here.
Yeah, I got to clean my room. I'll be back. All right, man. Well, I got one more story. I'm taking it all the way to Afghanistan. So there was this group of girls. They're a part of this robotics team from Afghanistan. And they actually got denied entrance into the United States, even though the country's not on a ban from, you know, the whole Trump administration. So what happened was they tried to come to this competition, which they qualified for. There's only, I believe, 16 teams that were able to go that qualified for it, and they got denied. And it was widely covered on mainstream media, but they still, the second time they applied, they still got banned. And they were just confused about it. Of course, the girls were devastated because they felt like they deserved to be there. And the coolest thing about this story, I've never said a positive Donald Trump news story. So I definitely wanted to talk about a positive Donald Trump story. This is actually initiated by Donald Trump. Donald Trump wanted this girls team to go after hearing about it. So he initiated the whole conversation. And with the Department of Homeland Security, overturned the decision, and the Afghan students were allowed to pack their bags and come for the competition. And also another country, I believe it was Gambia, are also allowed to come as well now because of Donald Trump decided to let them go after it was, you know, all over social media, all over mainstream media. Just, hey, this isn't right. They deserve to be here. Everybody fought for it. Everybody kept talking about it. And Donald Trump himself, the president of the United States right now, made it clear that he wanted these girls to go, and they're coming. They were able to perform against 15 of the smartest, I want to say smartest, it doesn't say smartest here, but I want to say smartest groups of people in the teenagers in the United States right now, or in the world, not just the United States, because these robots that they're making are going to be ridiculous. Did you ever watch any of those shows? Like, there's a show on sci-fi called, was it BattleBots? And it was like the groups of, groups of people. Oh, my bad. I forgot, dude. I forgot, JP. I'm talking about the wrong thing. I used to watch that all the time as a kid, and just seeing like teenagers doing this stuff now, I always wanted to do it. I know I still can't as an adult. I just don't have that attention span to focus on something that long. So shout out to these girls from Afghanistan and good luck to you guys in your competition.
You do have the attention span, Tim. You can run on the beach for 3 hours. Don't tell me you can't build a robot.
Yo, but the things I think about on that beach, like my attention span is not running. Trust me. I'm over here thinking about I'm the Flash, I'm thinking about the Olympics, I'm thinking about being Aquaman, I'm thinking about playing basketball, and if I could dunk, I'm thinking about what am I going to eat afterwards. I mean, my mind's just running.
Touché. I don't have a counter to that one. Yes, but good job, Donald Trump. We are clapping silently because we don't want the microphones to pick them up. That's one of the benefits of peer pressure. Peer pressure people into doing the right thing.
For sure.
Which is what we just talked about on Friday. This Friday, we have a great interview, probably our most positive interview, most positive thing ever. It's an interview with Jamie Zumwalt. Wow.
Yeah, totally just... Zumwalt. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, boy. Basically, it is the most positive interview ever. If you want to feel inspired, if you want to... Like, we, there's this idea of, like, heroes are athletes or heroes are, like, celebrities. No. Jamie is a hero. I don't even really want to spoil the interview, but she has a coffee shop in a very low-income portion of Oklahoma City. And all the things she's doing with the homeless is absolutely amazing. If you want to feel inspired this Friday, check out our interview. And, yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's only 2 days from now.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I've been talking about this interview to everybody that listens to The Positive Truth, and I keep telling them how I just thought this woman was just amazing. And I know if you guys are listening and we don't see you on a regular basis, this is one interview you guys definitely have to stay tuned for.
We will pin it to the top of the Facebook page. Where can they find us at, Tim?
You can find us at the Positive Truth Podcast on Facebook. You can find us at TPT underscore podcast on Twitter. And you can find us on the Positive Truth on Instagram, iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
Yeah, boy. And email us if you want to, if you get 10 followers to any of those at thepositivetruth@gmail.com, we'll send you a t-shirt. Also, if you have any uplifting and positive news stories going on in your life that you want us to talk about and share it to the broader world, we will just send them to us. We will talk about it. Yeah.
I think we're done here.
Do you have a positive quote, Tim?
Ooh, I do not have a positive quote. Do you have a positive quote on your head?
Yeah, I got a positive quote.
Bars. Cool. Way to save the day, JP.
It's kind of a funny one, though. It's not very positive.
Hey, laughter makes me feel positive, so I'll take it.
So it's from a Calvin and Hobbes strip. It's like, life is so unfair. And Hobbes says, basically, Calvin says, you know, like, life sucks sometimes, it's so unfair. Hobbes is like, it's unfair to everybody. And then Calvin's like, well, why can't it be unfair in my favor all the time? It's just like 6-year-old selfishness is absolutely amazing.
And on that note, everybody, stay positive.
We're out.